Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, people of the world. This is the Cubby House number 19. I'm 19, and I'm Jack.
And I'm Ryan, but I'm not 19.
And I'm Cookie, and I'm 19 with 6 years experience.
I think you're a bit young to kind of cut off your age and start counting forwards from there. Like, this is like the 20th time I've turned 30 or whatever.
But it sounds good, just with certain truths left out.
All right, we're about 20 seconds into this episode and I feel as though the conversation has already hit its peak. So, I'm Jack. Thanks for listening to the Cubby House podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.
No, don't end it. We have stuff to talk about.
You do?
Yes. I believe there's some blaming and shaming going on.
Oh. Yes. Yes, there is.
We'll get to that a little bit later on in a segment called What Did We Learn About This Week?
Cookie's just blushing away like mad.
Yes.
But we're not just a cub show. We're not just a sex show. Sometimes we talk about real things, things that are important, things that are relevant. So this week we're talking about leaving home.
Aww.
Leaving the nest. Tweet, tweet.
No tweeting for you.
Oh.
We've seen enough of your Twitter, thank you.
I don't have a Twitter. Fail. Bad. Also, apparently Ryan pays for pornography.
I do. I'm very old school that way.
This is something that makes my head spin.
Well, that's why we're going to talk about it.
We're also going to have a quick talk about what superpowers would we have as bears?
Not just necessarily as bears. I mean, there's more to us that... Well, how could you possibly phrase that? I think you
might just cut there's that just one. More to us. I'll leave it at that.
There's just more to us than that.
A generalization.
Also, we introduced some plans for the Sling of the Future. Cha, 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 cha.
Oh, if that's not a Dead Oz Direct ad, wow.
But wait, there's more. Oh. It's an improvement of my own, indeed, infallible design. Mm.
Also, we've got the regular feedback and our goodbyes at the end.
Yes. Mm.
That's an extra that we throw in.
As say well goodbye as- at the end as an added bonus.
Yes.
Like our steak knife.
As well as our website, which if you double check, www.thecubbyhouse.net.au, we've also added some events pics of our... entourage and escapades.
Well, more about that later.
Indeed. Mm. On show number 19.
And now for our segment called What Did We Learn This Week? Can we have a nice music bed under that? That was a nice music bed under that. Da 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 da. What did we learn?
How many times have you said that every time you want me to put a music bed down? I'm counting about four.
It's the only way you'll know.
I know already. I do already.
So anyway, this is going back to the beginning of the Cubby House podcast. Let's rewind to episode number 2, where we were talking about World of Warcraft. Yes, that thing is still around. Ugh. And there are still people playing for it. And apparently, in the last couple of weeks, it got its cold, clammy hand on Cookie.
Cookie, what have you been doing?
If I recall rightly, as defense... I said it was a good game. I just never wanted to get addicted to it.
Right. Well, we're going to be going through the archives and just hearing what you actually did say on that.
Admittedly, it is one of the best storylines for a game I've ever seen. And that's half its selling point. But almost any other game I've ever seen has a beginning, middle, and end. And you can save it at almost given points throughout the game. World of Warcraft has a beginning but has no end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is a bad game. It is a very addictive game, but it is a very well-planned and designed game.
Now, is this kind of the same thing as you're sitting around the house and you're not doing anything, but your housemate's kind of the one that does the drugs and leaves it all lying around, so you just try it just to see what it's like, only you like it a little. You find it good for the first bit, but you keep on going and crave it more and more. Eventually, you get shakes by the thought of not being with your World of Warcraft.
Sit there rubbing your arm.
No.
Are you addicted yet is what I'm trying to say.
If I was to say no, and the truth was I was, then I'm purely addicted because I haven't recognized the addiction. Yes, I'm addicted. Yes, I recognize it. However, I've only been really seriously playing it because there hasn't been a lot of other things for me to do. I'm currently in limbo. I'm about to go back to work, so I doubt I'll become full-fledged addiction. I can't get enough of it in my life sort of state, but I think it's just at the time, it's filling my time before I go back to work.
So you're saying if a serial killer was like, I was bored, so that's why I killed all those people. The police were like, oh, well, that's okay then. That's all right.
What's that I hear? I think it's, I hear somebody rationalizing it.
Sarcasm in set. No, it's only a point of, yes, I'm bored. I can't physically go out and do a lot of things. One, because of weather. Two, because of time. Three, because of money. And four, because I physically can't do it as much as I'd like to.
But wouldn't this be the perfect opportunity to start that novel you've been writing about, the one with the romantic subplots?
And the
action. And
sorry, what was that dream you're talking about? No, I've always been a fan of games. If it wasn't going to be Warcraft, it would have been, I don't know, Final Fantasy VII. You know, it's one of those things that it's going to take up my time one way or another, but I'm playing, as I've found, there's a lot of stuff we do need a lot of assistance from other players, but I've specifically been trying to keep it solo play because I know I won't be able to accommodate any favours that I might be asked down the track to pay back.
So you mean there's sexual favours involved in World of Warcraft?
Of course there is.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, maybe I should get involved.
I mean,
No, I'm not that. I'm sorry.
Right, it kind of reminds me back when the first expansion pack came out, when you had the flying mounts, and you see where I'm going with this one. There was a girl. There was a woman on Craigslist that, instead of doing all the in-game work to actually, I know, get the mount, which would have taken hours and hours, what she did is on Craigslist, she announced a mount for a mount. I'll let you ride me, and you can get me an in-game flying mounty thing. And apparently it worked. And she didn't count it as prostitution, although I think that's a fairly fine hair that she's splitting.
Well, prostitution's mainly to do with financial transactions, not exactly a hobby or something along those lines, but I think you're probably planting ideas in Cookie's head now.
No.
No?
No. I've always been, as far as role-playing games, a very solo player. If I have friends who are higher levels than me that may be able to help me finish things quicker and they're free, like they're on the game, they're not doing a lot, free to come and help, I'll happily have their assistance, but otherwise I will try to do everything by myself because then I don't have anybody to rely on or expect to be relied on later down the track because I have used their help previously, such as the guild system, which is basically a group of people who have agreed to do particular areas. Mm-hmm. Like work through particular areas at a particularly given time.
And
that's what some people have become that addicted to, where they will commit all their time to all these guild raids, as they're called, simply to better the game and spend the rest of their life in a fantasy.
Now, this might seem a bit heavy-handed, and I'm sorry, Cookie, but listeners, appreciate Cookie in this episode because this is the last time you'll be hearing him in his current form. He'll start to
oh no, you're gonna polymorph me, damn you.
He'll start to degrade very much like Smeagol.
My precious.
Wow.
So let's not beat this dead horse any further. We've got other things that we learned this week.
What did you learn, Jack?
Well, I know that if you have a sexual disease, you can have a manky penis.
I'll second that.
Wow. I did not see that coming. How the hell did you not learn that earlier? And how did you endeavor to educate yourself on this subject this week?
I didn't educate myself, but what I have been doing is that I have recently started volunteering with the Victorian AIDS Council's outreach program. I've got the
I was going to say that's a very snazzy shirt you've got there.
I've got a very snazzy t-shirt on. It's got a penis and a condom.
It says,
and it's a three panel comic of getting a condom on.
It's very Garfield.
Get it out. Get it on.
lube it up.
Right.
And it's got a website on the back.
www.protection.org.au.
Woohoo.
So what it means is that what I do is that I am working on behalf of the Victorian AIDS Council, going to sex on premises venues and being their little narc. No.
Wow.
No, what we do is that we provide a passive service where we can discuss treatment options and testing options and just any questions that people might have about sexual health that they might not ask other people otherwise.
Wow.
Amongst other places, yes.
I'm scared now. That kind of freaks me out a little bit.
I like to think that I'm bringing a fresh, cute face to the organization. that I might be a narc, but I make it look good.
You make it work. No. Oh, okay, me.
Can we work a wow into your own story? So maybe. You've done too.
Okay, what I learned this week is that if you work in a job where you are on call, it's probably not a good idea to go out drinking and sniffing poppers until 5 o'clock in the morning and then leave your mobile phone on so your boss can call you the next day saying you should come into work.
Yep.
Yeah. Long story short, it was my best friend's Dan. Happy birthday, Dan. It was his 32nd birthday on Wednesday, and we went to his place and he bought a slab of Smirnoff and we basically just sat up till 5 o'clock in the morning drinking and sniffing poppers and nothing happened. It was just a really good night, good conversation, good friends, good grog, good snorty thingies.
Not necessarily the required things for good conversation and casual outings, but
no, not at all. But yes, I was very worse for wear the next day when I had to go to work.
But animal without sex doesn't seem as though it has very much of a payoff.
For me, when I'm sniffing poppers outside of the bedroom or, you know, away from a sexual act, it just makes me laugh. I just go into this little headspace where everything is hilarious. So I like that. When you're on the peel at the dance floor and you're watching all these little annoying twinks bopping away thinking they're all that in a bag of chips, I mean, you laugh anyway. But poppers just makes it even more funnier.
Yeah, I remember I was at a class about drugs and all that and how the government could take policies about drugs and controlling and that kind of thing. I'm kind of thinking, wow, these people really aren't creative enough. I mean, young people people desperate enough will find a buzz and they just need to be a bit more creative. And it seems as though poppers is the way.
Well, it's a bit more convenient than clag, for example. Yeah. If you're going to sniff glue, you know, you don't want that big, huge white pot with the red, you know, little paintbrush that it comes with. It's kind of, you know, obvious that you're sniffing glue. So poppers is probably a better choice.
Also, I'd like to note that according to our Community Broadcasting Association of Australia codes of practice, it is illegal, or is it against our code of practice, to endorse the use of drugs. So,
yes.
Yay.
So don't do it, kiddies.
But if you're going to do it safe.
And do it with me. Make them laugh.
I have to say no, not all the time.
Well, no.
It's
if you're in a sling and you're snorting poppers and you're laughing, yeah. That's kind of weird.
That's a funny, yes, no. No. I suppose any chemical will have different effects to different people.
For example, it makes you break down in tears whenever you sniff it. It's like the last half hour of Titanic in a bottle.
Not really, because when you're snorting poppers, I don't sit there crying because I've just wasted 3.5 hours of my life over some crappy James Cameron film, but enjoyed the fact that, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio died at the end anyway.
Okay. I think we learned a lot this week.
Yeah, I had to think we could actually use the term wow in all three stories.
Yeah, I know. Wow. All we can say is, sham. Wow.
But still,
and we don't endorse sham wows either because they're crap.
Still, I can imagine a guy coming over to my booth at like Club 80 and I was like, oh, okay, let me talk to you over this picture of a manky penis. This could be you.
Yeah, that brings all the boys to the yard.
We, the Cubby House, brand ourselves as a youth program. I mean, we don't seem very youth-oriented at times. In fact, we slap a big MA 15, 18, 21, probably best not to listen to it before the age of 30, kind of like rating.
But it's funny because it's true.
We do call ourselves a youth program and we talk about youthy things. And as such, one of the things I was wanting to talk about is moving out of home. Now, I haven't flown the nest yet, but there are two people in this studio that have.
Yay! Yay!
So what? I don't want this to be a Q&A. So where do you want to start with this?
Well, the Dungeon Studios didn't become themselves, put it that way. It has been this place that I now reside in and have for the last over 1.5 years was conceived well over 5-6 years ago. The idea that I would move out, have my own place to myself, and learn how to live with myself rather than in a family situation. The reason it didn't happen sooner was pure and simply for finance reasons. I wasn't in a job that I could see was going to last me long enough to move out of home. So my first point is, if anybody is looking to move out of home and you don't need to for political persecutional reasons, stay at home. I had a very supportive family that, despite the fact that we used to bite each other's heads off every day for the simple fact that we were stepping on each other's toes, I learnt to be, God, tenfold humble than what I would have had I moved out at, you know, 19 or 21. For the simple fact I've learnt how to do it tough emotionally and mentally, to the point where by the time I actually had moved out of home, I was very domesticated. I could look after myself, apart from when I was obviously sick, and I would have a space that I would be proud to call mine rather than just a space that I needed to be mine. So that's how I ventured into planning to move out of home. And the irony is, when I did move out of home, I ended up losing the job with the company the week after. So having those sorts of needs and necessities to pay bills and rent actually drove me to continue looking for a job more severely than had I been at home still looking for a job.
So what was the challenges that you met having to make that jump?
Believe it or not, there wasn't that many challenges, because for the most part, I'd been planning to move out and had physically started getting, you know, furniture and making sure I had all the basics ready a good year or so more before I moved out of home. It helped that my grandparents had been put in a nursing home a couple of years earlier, so they still had a lot of white goods that they were happy for me to have without any payment, so I didn't have to outlay a lot for equipment. A lot of the furniture is a lot of the secondhand stuff my parents have had, so with the exception of paying for a bed suite, I haven't had to pay for a lot. So I physically was ready to move out well and truly before I did. The only other greatest move was, and probably is now becoming more evident, is how to plan for one. Rather than having to plan and allow for three other people, you are your own boss. You sink or swim. If you can't cook or you don't want to cook, then you suffer the consequences of not having a good diet and that sort of thing. And even financially, I watched a lot of friends move out of home early on and saw different methods for how they coped with paying bills and putting money aside and just, you know, cheaper ways to go about doing things that may or may not have worked for you.
So Ryan, Jack, I'm sure you've got a more interesting story.
Well, considering he's with more than just himself, yeah.
That's a nice way of saying you're boring as batshit, Cookie.
Yeah, screw you too.
Well, I actually disagree with what Cookie said to start off with. I think that if you are in a position to move out, you can afford to, and even if you don't need to, I fully recommend it. I mean, my parents own a 4-bedroom house, and I'm always going to be welcome to move home. And there are times when I do think about it, but no, I absolutely love not living at home.
Before you go, are you ever looking at buying a home?
Probably not.
Okay, that's probably why I said what I said, because I will...
I agree,
Once I've got enough for a deposit, I will go, my next place will be bought.
Yeah.
Whereas I've only rented for the living experience rather than just getting out of home. It's coming out of home for about 12 months, then going and then buying a place was the plan.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I stay at home longer.
Yeah.
For those reasons.
I agree, in the sense that if you're saving up for, you know, a deposit on a house and all those sorts of things, absolutely. Or if you're planning a trip overseas or anything like that, absolutely. I don't think I moved out of home until I'd paid like 2/3 of my car off. So I completely agree with you there. But if you're just staying at home for staying at home's sake, then stop being a friggin' leech to your parents. Get off your ass and get out and actually have a life, because at least that way you can bring boys home.
Yay.
I have had a few horror stories. I mean, apart from, you know, living with boyfriends and things like that, the first place I lived in, I shared a three-story townhouse with two girls that I went to high school with. And it was only a two-bedroom house and a study. And I lived in the study, which was a very small room under the stairs. So everybody called me Harry Potter because I was living under the stairs. And I didn't last for very long there because I'm a neat freak, absolute neat freak. And the girls were just... not. They'd make food and they'd leave it out and all that sort of stuff. And it doesn't matter how many times I brought up the subject of I'm sick of picking up after you and I'm sick of doing this and I'm sick of food going off because you leave it out. It still happened. So I moved out. And then I moved in with two other girls that I went to high school with and we had a ball. You know, I agree with what you said before, Cookie, about food and things like that. I was very much the mother in that sort of thing. I would get a cookbook and I'd flick through it, and if there was any recipes that I liked, I would jot down, you know, articles of food that we had to buy during our shopping trips, and I'd plan that menu for all of us. And it wasn't just, you know, we were cooking for three of us. I made sure there was enough for lunches the next day and all that sort of stuff. So I agree, it is hard for you to plan for one, and it's a lot easier to, especially leaving home, it's for you to plan for a few other people. The only thing that pissed me off, and I've already had this conversation, Mel, if you're listening, the one thing that pissed me off that you used to do is when you had your breakfast in the morning and I'd done all the dishes and the sink was empty, you would make your butter, your toast, and then put Nutella on your spread, and then you'd leave that dirty frickin' knife in the sink, and it would piss me off no end. One knife. You can't rinse it and put it in the dishwasher. Oh, that pissed me off. But now I am living with two gay boys, all cubs. We've got our own little cubby house happening. And it's really funny because I was a neat freak. Joe. Hi, Joe, if you're listening.
Does he listen to the show?
He does listen to the show.
Oh, so he's one of our 80 people that listen to the program.
Woohoo! We love those 80 people. They rock. Joe is not a neat freak. He is quite the antichrist when it comes to cleaning. So that made it a little bit awkward. But I must admit, he's not home a lot. And then we had another guy move in who's living with us, Matty. And he's a bigger neat freak than what I am. He is way worse. So I'm in heaven. I don't have to clean. I don't have to do anything. Great. So yes,
I actually did move out of home for a little while there. This is a story that I've never actually shared with anyone before.
Ooh, dishy.
I was about 14 at the time, and my dad was going through a rather difficult period that he was dealing with anger issues as well as alcohol problems, and it was all compiled for the fact that he was doing night shifts as a mental health nurse. As a psych nurse. He was a psych nurse for practically pedophiles. So kind of mix all that together and it creates a lot of friction.
It would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, it got to a point where we were just couldn't stand each other. Things have worked themselves out now. I'd packed myself up in the car and I'd organized to move off to my grandmother's place for a little while. And all my stuff was in the back of the station wagon. And we were on our way there. And you know how that there are... are songs on the radio that play at certain times where you think, oh my God, this is relevant to me. Wow. It's like the universe is in sync with me. Well, this is one of those times where I went, fuck you, universe, because coming out of Gold FM was The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon.
Awesome.
When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together then. And I was like,
I'm sorry,
dude. Just cringing at, no, I don't want to hear this now.
It's better that than love song dedications. Wow.
It worked out now. He's got a new job and, yeah, we're getting on cool with each other. So it had a happy ending.
Oh, well, we do like happy endings.
Hooray.
Can I just quickly say, Cookie, just to go on to what you were saying before.
Yes.
Cooking for one. Did you do home economics in high school?
I did do home economics. I can cook.
Did you keep your cookbook from that?
Yeah.
Would that be Cookery the Australian Way?
Cookery the Australian Way is the best freaking cookbook ever.
My mother still has her copy of Cookery the Australian Way and it's like 40 years old.
So does my mum.
It's falling apart.
Yes. I mean, there's a recipe for toast in it. I kid you not, there seriously is a recipe for toast.
This is a cookbook which I have actually never heard of.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like you guys have got different cookbooks.
They've actually discontinued Cookery the Australian Way.
No, they haven't.
No?
It's still going.
Really? I thought the most recent edition was going to be the last because, well, the lady died or the last of the ladies died.
Not from food poisoning, I hope.
I certainly hope not.
But seriously, if you can get a hand, if you get your hands on that book, awesome. Because it's all for school kids when, you know, you're learning to cook for yourself sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can always double, triple, quadruple for how many suits. But Wow, I feel really gay talking about recipes and stuff now.
Okay, well, it's good to know that sort of thing's out there because I'm finding I've gotten to that point where I just can't be bothered cooking at the moment. Like, I'm home all the time.
Yet you can't be bothered playing World of Warcraft. Shame. In fact, you were talking to me. You were talking to me on MSN how you were doing fishing and cooking on World of Warcraft. So your avatar is well fed, but you can't gather the time together to feed yourself.
How much energy does it require to do that stuff on Warcraft as compared to physically going out and doing it for yourself?
Well, look, if you...
It doesn't require a lot of mental or physical energy whatsoever. It's just point and click.
My point still stands.
I agree with Jack.
Does the click go there as well?
Sorry, I just flashed on Avenue Q then.
The internet is for porn.
Gross!
The internet is for porn.
I hate...
Grab your dick and double click.
Oh, yeah.
That leads us on to our next subject.
What's that?
Ryan, before the show, we talked about a little thing called pornography.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
But the thing that blew my mind, as compared to what usually happens when I talk about pornography, is that you actually pay for your pornography.
I do.
Now, let's clarify. A lot of ways can be paid for pornography. There is the online access. There is the online downloads. There is also the option, which I believe you're speaking of, and that is paying for DVDs.
Yes, I have...
Hard copies.
I should have done a count, but I would. I think I would have close to about 40 DVDs.
Whoa.
I have probably about 40 or so magazines as well. I guess I'm just old school. I don't really like downloading games. I've tried, as you say, Cookie, like paying for downloads and things like that, and I just end up getting ripped off. So it's like, well, at least I've got an actual hard copy of something. And, you know, if worse comes to worse, I can always just mark it up and sell it on.
You're not into amateur junk online?
What, as in like XTube and things like that?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, you need the internet and you need a laptop, a computer, and sometimes it's just not that good to get up, turn it on, wait for it to load, connect to the internet. By the time it's all happened, you're just done. Whereas you can just lie in bed and roll over to the remote control and turn it on and bow chicka wow wow away.
Now, I'm not exactly a connoisseur of porn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just the looks you've got.
What?
Rolling over and... Mental images.
Just grabbing the remote control, turning it on and...
Double click for porn.
That's it.
Is there a discernible difference in the quality of what you're getting when you're paying for it compared to when you're surfing around online?
Well, my tip is that you should always go for websites that have previews of what you're purchasing. At least that way. I mean, you wouldn't just go and see a normal film, for example, without seeing a preview. Now, the wonders of YouTube and all that sort of stuff, you can actually access whatever preview you want.
Yeah, or without at least review.
Well, yeah, exactly. Hmm. Unless you're already familiar with it. For example, you know, the latest Harry Potter film's out. Hmm. Because you've seen or read all the books, you'd probably go, oh, yeah, I'll go and see it anyway, without seeing the trailer.
So it's the same with Backdoor Sluts 9.
Exactly. People give it two thumbs up.
we go for a third?
Well... That's just being greedy now. Sharing is caring, after all. Like, just recently, there was a website that was... They were having a special. It was like 10 DVDs for $100. So I went through all of them, and being a typical tight-ass Taurian that I am, I wanted to make sure I got the best value. So I went through all the trailers, and I saw which ones I liked, and then I picked out the best 10. And, you know, 4 to 6 days later, ka-ching, boy, they're on the doorstep. And 10 minutes later, I was in front of the couch.
Now, what
with
I
a
li-
box of tissues.
Now, what I like about the porn that you actually pay for is that you've got the delicate plots involved in some with some of them.
Gee, I'm glad you two plumbers arrived. Yeah, totally.
No, I received a porn pack from Southern Hibernation last year. I actually slipped it in, and it was a full thing. There was a scene that went on for nigh on 15 minutes, and when it's porn, it's like blah 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 blah. But this was actually interesting because it was this daddy guy behind a desk and this young skinny guy that was sitting in the chair in front of him, and he was saying, "Oh, I'm getting married tomorrow, but I've never done anything, so I don't know if I'm a good lay or not. I don't know if I'll impress her." It's like, yeah, I'll see about that.
Was that called Lifeguard?
It was called Lifeguard.
I have that porn.
and then I kind of thought to myself, man, you're no virgin. You gotta... Method acting, man. Method acting.
Most of my friends are straight guys, and I don't think any of them have ever said to me, I'm getting married tomorrow, I don't know if I'm a good lay, and then Bow Chicka Wow Wow music starts playing. But that's just me. But however, it was a good porn. Good. I recommend it. You know, out of 5, I'd give it like 4. It was all right. But I like porn with storylines. I don't like porn that it just immediately gets into it. Well, unless I just want to get off. If I'm actually just sort of edging or something, I like something with a storyline.
So it sounds as though that you don't have a quickie and just move on with your day. That you get the candles out, you slow down the music, and you make an experience out of it.
There are times when, you know, it'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, I can't roll over in bed because there's something stopping me from rolling all the way over. So yeah, I'll just turn it on, get to a scene, do stuff, and then go back to sleep again. But there are times when, you know, I work nights. I've got a lot of free time during the day, so why not?
That neat freak tendency that you have also comes in handy because none of those pages stick together.
No, the pages do not stick together. So I'll have to... Once I start selling my porn on eBay, I'll let everybody know and you can...
So no Oda Lorraine.
No, there's no scratch and sniff happening there. You can't sort of, you know, it's not like Cosmopolitan where you rip the pages open and you wipe yourself with the scent. Nothing like that, I'm afraid.
Cookie, as I recall, you've got sticky keys on your keyboard.
You're a bit of a porn connoisseur.
Oh, please.
You are.
Connoisseur, no.
Not connoisseur?
No, beyond connoisseur.
Okay, what?
A gourmet.
Yeah.
We're using four food metaphors.
So we're going
here.
From master chef to master porn sort of thing.
I have previews as well of probably over 1,000 movies, I think.
Previews. You're not actually paying for them, are you?
No, they're the free previews. You know, the ones that are on the website that you can download.
Tired ass! I mean that ironically.
Well, some would say it's for research.
Research for
research.
What?
Research. One of the things I do is I actually have become a bit of a photographer, and a friend has actually...
Oh, don't use that excuse.
No, well, I need to understand what angles I need to shoot porn at.
Is that the same as reading through the magazines for the articles?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that I'm looking
if I
at,
was a writer.
I'm looking at the filming techniques that are used.
Yes.
How many people have watched porn and said, that was an awesome camera angle. That captured the light lovely.
You haven't met some of my mates.
Oh, I'm really scared now.
I could just imagine...
Actually, you might have met one.
Just imagine your sex on premises venue of choice upstairs in the porn viewing room. There's these guys in clipboards just taking notes about what they like. It's like, I like the texture and the composition. The lines are very nice.
And you don't get... Porn does nothing for you, Jack.
I wouldn't say that.
Right.
But I do tend to enjoy my erotic fiction a little bit more than
yes.
that.
Yes. I must admit, when... I don't mean to be all like, when I was your age, but when I was younger... I've bought a lot of books that were purely bare-rotica, as we say. But then I got bored and I wanted pictures, so...
Now, here is an actual subject that I was actually going to propose a bit later on. This subject has reminded me. Maybe you could slap it into another episode or something. But what I wanted to discuss is, what did you do for pornography before you were 18 or before you had the internet? What did you...
My imagination was awesome.
I could imagine.
Well, I'm a writer by trade, so my creativity just went nuts. And I just made up scenarios in my head and did stuff while I thought about it.
Didn't fantasize about the bulge on the front of the Rio catalogue or the Rio undies or... No.
I think I did make my own scrapbook out of clippings and things like that.
That's kind of creepy.
If I can find it, I will bring it in and you can all point and laugh.
It's Ryan's Bulgepedia.
Me... I have to say, kinky since birth and still learning.
Oh my.
If it felt good, I probably did it.
Elaborate, please. Do we want to know?
Well, let's just say the underwear got cut up before it was thrown out.
No wonder you got kicked out of home.
Excuse me.
If I was your mother, I'd be like, crying out loud. How many 7-packs of Rio do you go through? No more.
No, the big one was, we know you have dildos. We don't want to see them.
Well, as long as you weren't putting them in the dishwasher or anything, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but my douche hose accidentally got left out on more than one occasion.
How'd you recover from that little faux pas? Or maybe the greater faux pas is if they didn't actually know what they were using it for and used it to gargle their mouth out or something like that.
Or wash their hair or something.
No, they knew what it was for. They didn't need to be told. They're smart enough.
Ryan, start a sitcom. That can be one of your jokes. It's a what the hell is this joke? Do I use it to gargle my mouth out?
Or? It reminds me of a scene out of a Steve Martin film called Parenthood. And they were all at Diane Wiest's house and the lights go out. And Steve Martin goes to get a torch or something. And you just hear this buzzing noise. And then the lights come on and he's got a vibrator in his head. And the kids are like, what was that? And the mother goes, it was an ear cleaner. And the daughter goes, it was pretty big for an ear cleaner. And the grandmother goes, it sure was. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's already been done. Yeah. Maybe not with a vibrator. We could be a bit little bit more creative, I'm sure, with something else.
Yes. But no, I used to use bulldog clips. They make great nipple clamps. So just creative and, yeah, if it felt good, try it.
Hooray!
What about you?
I pretty much had my computer hooked up to the internet since I was 14 or so. So there hasn't been a time in my life when I wanted cyber porn and it wasn't there.
Oh, you didn't have to be creative like us.
Well,
you didn't have to be MacGyver in the bedroom.
Yes, well.
So, on your conclusion, porn is good.
I think porn is good. I don't think you... I think it's good that I'm supporting, you know, the company and the actors and all the other people that are involved with the studio. Actors use that term extremely loosely.
Well, models.
Okay, all right. That's a better term. So, I guess that's my way of giving something back to them. Thanks for the memories.
And it's good that you're actually paying for it because where you get... There's a lot of blockbuster movies.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of discounts and giveaways and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of the smaller pornography companies in particular don't have the same subsidies.
Yeah.
So you're paying more for a product, but that's because they're not subsidized. So you're paying a realistic price.
Mm.
So. And Cookie, that hard drive that you've got exclusively dedicated to pornography, is that a testament to your research, I suppose?
Yeah, you could say that. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Unlike Ryan, I've never really associated a porn with the bedroom until recently. Now I've got wireless connection so I can use the laptop, but I've always usually had my fill of porn towards the end of the day, just before I get ready to go to bed. So I'm normally sitting at the computer. And it could be that I'm just having that quickie, or I will set up for a full toy play.
Right.
So, yeah, it's strange how we go about our ways.
Well, it was just the sense that I've always had, a TV and a computer in my room ever since I was about 14 or so.
TV? What's that?
TV? You know, it's that strange little artifact that shows moving pictures and things on it.
It's your window to Oprah Winfrey land.
Oh, the dumb box, yeah.
Yes.
Idiot box.
Yes. The thing that doesn't have World of Warcraft on it.
The thing that tells sham. You what you should know.
Wow, sham.
And I think because my brother's gay, I remember there was one time where mum wanted to put a video on and she discovered one of his porn and that kind of scarred me for life. So I was terrified of ever bringing my porn out of my bedroom.
Yeah, and I'm sure when you watched Bear Cub for that one time, that was an interesting experience flashback.
Thank God the girls were in their rooms. Oh my God. Did I mention that?
Yeah, yes, you did. Okay. You know the thing that really blew my mind was when I was at the erotic men's bookstore with an upstairs area exclusively for DVDs. They had the DVDs absolutely everywhere, but this little thing there was VHS tapes, and I was like, "Whoa! this came on VHS? Whoa! Just Just too much.
I know. Imagine the days where, you know, everything was on VHS and there might have been a Betamax section or something.
I'm sure that story goes back to the original caving or drawings on cave walls with the bazongas that are quite large.
No, I think it's just a case of you just did it. Didn't have to talk about it. You just did it.
We beat this subject too long. Let's move on.
Damn it, it's not coming out.
Feedback. Hi, what? Calvin.
Like Calvin and Hobbes, we say hello.
We've got mail.
We do.
I like mail.
We love mail.
It gives us the impression that we're not lonely old sods that are going to die alone. Yeah, just like Nana.
So alone on your branch right there.
Yes. But Calvin here has made us all better. We feel very good and he has sent us the best email we have received since the last show.
Since the last email we got that wasn't spam.
He's saying that he really enjoys the program, and whenever he's on iTunes and he sees the Cubby House downloading, it gives him a little bit of a buzz going on. And he listens to some of the other Bear Chat podcasts, and seeing that we're coming out in his eyes on top, well, it gives me a semi-hard one.
Talking about giving you semi-hards...
This podcast has just had its ups and downs, I swear to God. Speaking of semis.
But he
stop making lift jokes.
But Calvin was talking about in a previous episode where I was discussing, oh no, I'm not hardcore enough. I'm in the gay community. I'm not getting rooted each way to Sunday or whatever the phrase is. I'm not quite too sure.
Yeah. It's your phrase now. You've made it your own.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the, you know, vegan communes as well. So, you know.
But apparently Calvin here has been in a relationship and kind of feels the same. So I think it's about time that all the sexless losers of the world kind of came together and...
got together and go bowling or something.
Went bowling or something nice and platonic.
Maybe they can work for us in creating our slings. A love swing, sorry.
Yes. We're not going to be using it.
That's right.
Calvin, come over to Australia. We'll make something.
Also, another email and... bit of a shock, actually, from us at Cubby House. Brad, who's sent us through, he is the editor of the newsletter.
Hi, Brad.
Hello.
Harbour City Bears, our Sydney counterpart to Vic Bears. He sent us through a bit of a questionnaire. So, for those who are in Sydney, look out for a newsletter from us. Apparently, we're going to be in some form of description and... yeah.
We'll be publicised.
Probably amongst a whole lot of other bear podcasts, but hey.
Oh, come on.
Any publicity is good publicity.
It's nice to be included.
Well, believe it or not, BTalk have announced their finishing up, so...
oh.
Well,
sad times.
One less to compete against, but unfortunately, that's a bad thing.
Don't worry, 12 more will take its place.
Oof. Well, we wish all the boys at BTalk all the best of luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
And although I don't listen to podcasts, you know, I'm sure everybody else will be sad to see you go.
There's not enough room in that article for more than one podcast. And seeing there's only enough room for us, I'm afraid.
even then.
We've got hearts as big as our egos.
Even then, I think mine's a bit smaller than yours. It's kind of being overshadowed.
Ha ha. I'm not going to say anything, but I was just so that's what she said sort of thing right there.
Also, just to update you, we've added some new photos on our Facebook and webpage.
Some more porn for you to download for free.
Yes. Look at Ryan giving some very seductive poses.
Oh, you can masturbate all over our pictures, especially Jack with that blue folder.
I know.
You can barely see my face. It's the mystery which makes it erotic.
That's right.
It's Where's Jack?
Mm. Also, just to re-announce, well, it's not really re-announcing, but just to restate, Eric's, all the Bearmen of Adelaide and their Golden Wolves, there's a accepting submissions up until the 1st of November. Details about that will be on the blog, www.thecubbyhouse.net.au. And I think we're done here. It's about 9:15 local time on the 24th? No, it's like the 27th.
No, it's the 24th.
24th of July, 2009.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Cookie.
I'm Jack.
And we are the Cubby House. Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Sometimes I doubt your devotion to sparkle motion.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.